Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, text number 8.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Tvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanad Aham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Adhitavan Dvaparadau Pitur Dvaipayanadaham Idam this Bhagavatam Srimad Bhagavatam Nama of the name Puranam Vedic supplement Brahma Sammitam approved as the essence of the Vedas Adhitavan studied Dvapara Adau at the end of the Dvapara Yuga Pituhu from my father Dvaipayanad Dvaipayana Vyasadeva Aham myself at the end of the Dvapara Yuga I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam which is equal to all the Vedas from my father Srila Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. Purport. The statement made by Srila Shukadeva Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist, who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions, mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead, is verified by his personal example. Shukadeva Goswami, being a recognized liberated soul and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all of the topmost sages present in the meeting during the last 7 days of Maharaj Parikshit. He cites from the example of his life that he himself was attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord, and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Sri Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter, any other scientific literature, cannot be studied at home by one's own intellectual capacity. Medical books of anatomy or physiology are available in the market, but no one can become a qualified medical practitioner simply by reading such books at home. One has to be admitted to the medical college and study the books under the guidance of learned professors. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead, can only be learned by studying it at the feet of a realized soul like Srila Vyasadeva. Although Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of another great soul, Sri Narada Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmin to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavata. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, entourage, and variegatedness of the Supreme Person. And it is spoken by the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Srila Vyasadeva. Pastimes of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees, and consequently historical incidences are mentioned in this great literature, because they are related to Krishna. It is called Brahma-sammitam because it is the sound representative of Lord Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the sound incarnation of the Lord because it is spoken by the Supreme Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound representative of the Lord, because it was spoken by the incarnation of the Lord about the activities of the Lord. As stated in the beginning of this book, it is the essence of the Vedic desire tree and the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras, the topmost philosophical thesis on the subject matter of Brahma. Vyasadeva appeared at the end of Dwapara Yuga, as the son of Satyavati, and therefore the word Dwapara Adau, or the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, in this context means just prior to the beginning of the Kali Yuga. The logic of this statement, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, is comparable to that of calling the upper portion of the tree the beginning. The root of the tree is the beginning of the tree, but in common knowledge the upper portion of the tree is first seen. In that way, the end of the tree is accepted as its beginning. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shagana Raganatanditam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lodita Sri Vishakhanvitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vanchakol Patarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Idam Bhagavatam Nama, Purana Brahma Samhitam, Adhitavan Dvaparado Pitur Dvaipayanadaham. If one wants to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to understand it from a person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam means the person who's been trained in the science through the disciplic succession and who lives according to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvijnanartham sa gurumeva vigachchet. Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. If one wants to get true understanding of the spiritual science, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadvijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigacchet is imperative. One must. Not one may. One must. Gacchet. Tadvijnanartham. If one wants to actually understand. Gyan means book knowledge. That you can get by picking up the book. And Prabhupada gives the example of the medical book. You can go to the marketplace, pick it up and read it. That doesn't make you a doctor. Because you don't know how to apply it. You don't know the ins and outs of it. Vigyan means, Prabhupada sometimes says, scientific knowledge or applied knowledge or realized knowledge. It means that you actually know, like surgery. You can read about it and know how to do it in theory. But to actually know, one has to study under a qualified surgeon. Otherwise, it's theoretical knowledge. But practical knowledge, one needs training. So, tadvijnanartham. Artha means benefit. To get the real benefit of transcendental understanding, one must study Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of the person Bhagavatam. Bhagavata paridhiya bhagavata sthana. If one actually wants to understand, one has to understand it that way, not simply by reading. And the example is there in the life of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, Dvaipayanad Adhitavan. I understood this Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing from Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva happened to be his father. So Sukadeva Goswami heard and studied the matter by the grace of his father, by the grace of the great sage Dvaipayana Vyas, the incarnation of Krishna. Vyasadeva is Shaktivesha avatar of Krishna, literary incarnation. He comes to give the Vedic knowledge in literary form. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature work of Srila Vyasadeva. Brahma Sangita, the Vyasadeva compiled the four Vedas and wrote supplements in the form of the Puranas, histories, and Itihas, Mahabharata, within which the Bhagavad Gita is there. And then he gave the essence of the Upanishads, or essence of the Vedic knowledge, in the Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means codes, concise codes. So aphorisms. Within the codes of the Vedanta Sutra, the essence of Vedic knowledge is there, but it's compressed. It's in code language, very concise, very clipped. So to understand those sutras, some commentary is required. And that commentary was given by Srila Vyasadeva in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedanta Sutras say, janmadyasyata. Everything has its beginning, its existence, and its dissolution, proceeding from the personality of Godhead, or proceeding from Brahma, the absolute truth. And the Srimad Bhagavatam elucidates the nature of that absolute truth. Janmadyasriyaton vayadituratascharatesva vigyasurat. Therefore, it begins with the same language, janmadyasya, as the commentary by the same author, written in his maturity, under the guidance of his spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni. That history has already been given in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How Vyasadeva, after compiling so much literature, was still dissatisfied and was therefore advised by his Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni, you must be dissatisfied because you've skirted around the actual point. You've given indirect indications of the absolute truth, but you haven't specifically glorified Krishna. So, with that guidance, Vyasadeva wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically dedicated to the glories of the personality of Godhead, Krishna. Idam Bhagavatam na. It's called Srimad Bhagavatam because it's in relationship to the personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. Purana Brahma Sangitam. And Adhitavan, it has to be studied very seriously. It's not a casual enterprise. This Srimad Bhagavatam is so much is there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained one verse in 64 different ways. The Atmaramas Chamuniyo Nigrantam Apyurukrame, that verse. He explained before Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya in so many different ways, taking each word and giving so many different meanings. Atma can mean the mind, Atma can mean the body, Atma can mean the soul, Atma can mean this, Atma can mean that. Muni can mean this, Muni can mean that. Taking all of these different meanings and combining them, one gets so many different meanings, all pointing to the same conclusion, but in diverse ways. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this one verse in so many different ways. And then again, when he met Srila Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami asked him, I heard that you described this verse, Atmaramas Chamuniyo, in so many different ways before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Could you explain to me what you told him? So then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained all of these meanings. And then he said, oh, by your association, I just thought of another meaning. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, or every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, has unlimited meanings. Because there's no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and the personality of Godhead. the Shabda Brahma, it's transcendental sound. So in the transcendental sound, there's unlimited meaning. So I've only given a few meanings, but actually unlimited meaning is there. So, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamali. One has to study Srimad Bhagavatam or drink Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of devotees, hearing from especially a bona fide spiritual master who's received the message of Bhagavatam in the Parampara system. There's so many Bhagavatam reciters who are professionals, but whose lives are not the same as Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was the ideal speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, totally dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna. But there are so many reciters who recite Bhagavatam as an attraction, as a business. So sometimes Bhagavatam, sometimes Mahabharata, sometimes Ramayana, sometimes Shiv Purana, sometimes Devi Bhagavat, sometimes this, sometimes that. According to the audience, according to what the demand is, they'll recite this or that. And they'll give some acceptable instructions. You should serve your parents, you should follow Dharma, you should be charitable, you should be this, you should be that, you should do your work, do your duty. So they'll say something. You should be religious. But they don't deliver the message of Bhagavatam as given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. They don't say, you should give up your material attachments. You should leave your family. You shouldn't waste your time in sense gratification. You shouldn't be like a hog, dog, camel, or ass, simply glorifying the fools who have no interest other than Krishna. You shouldn't waste your life for Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, religion aimed only at economic development, sense gratification, and impersonal liberation. Instead, usually they encourage these things. You should be religious so that you'll live a prosperous life and you'll be happy and you can finally become one with the Supreme. Oh, Kaitava Dharma is their stock in trade. Cheating religion is their stock in trade. Because they haven't been trained under the guidance of a person committed to the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. They can't deliver the actual thing. They can recite Bhagavatam as a convenient means for meeting household expenses or as a way for supporting some charitable work, philanthropic work. But they can't deliver devotional service to Krishna, as it was delivered by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, because they themselves are lacking. Sometimes they're devoted to Krishna, sometimes devoted to Shiva, sometimes this, sometimes that, according to the day of the week or the venue. So, idam bhagavatam nama purana brahma sammitam. This subject matter is approved by all the learned persons, Atmavit Samata Pumsam. And therefore, this is the subject matter for hearing. Shukadeva Goswami illustrates the principle by the example of his own life. Example speaks louder than precept. So one may say one should hear from a great devotee, but he gives the example that I heard from my father, Srila Vyasadeva. So it's practical. Srila Prabhupada explains from, with reference to Jiva Goswami, the idea that the beginning of Dwapara Yuga was the time when Bhagavatam was spoken. because the beginning of Dwapara Yuga was not the time, as far as we understand. It was at the end of Kali Yuga, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, the beginning of Kali Yuga, that this science was spoken. So Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the beginning means the end. And the example is given of a tree where the beginning is the root, but we say the beginning of the tree and we point to the top, the start of the tree. See, if you look there at the start of the tree and then look down, gradually you come to the root. So the part that's first seen, we sometimes refer to as the beginning or the start. So Sukadev Goswami says, I learned this science at the start of Dwapara Yuga, the beginning. So that means the end. All right, are there any questions?
To study the Bhagavatam, like you said, at the feet of a self-realized person, a bona fide spiritual master, when one reads Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and his purports, is that like reading his purports, is that the same as studying under a bona fide spiritual master?
No. Is reading Prabhupada's purports the same as studying at the feet of the spiritual master? It is and it isn't. Just like Prabhupada says, hearing Bhagavad Gita is as good as hearing from Krishna himself. But still one has to learn the Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master. One can't simply say, well, Krishna spoke it. Krishna is my spiritual master. I heard it from Krishna. That's as good as Arjuna hearing from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is absolute. There's no difference. That's all true. But still one has to approach the spiritual master. Just as Krishna told Arjuna, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sedya. So it's true, Prabhupada is there in the book, just like Prabhupada says in one place, Srila Narad Muni has kindly appeared in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then why do we need Prabhupada? Narad Muni is there. In person. But Narad Muni is accessible to us by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada is accessible through the bona fide spiritual master. The same thing, that the book on surgery was written by a person who's learned it from an expert, and so you're learning from an expert by reading his book on surgery. But still, you have to approach a surgeon and study under him. What is this book saying? How exactly do you do that? There's a very interesting essay written by a top surgeon, called The Learning Curve, in which he described his experience in learning and teaching surgery. And he described how as a beginning surgeon, he was told, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and he had it all in his mind, and he had it all down. And then when he went to do it, some major thing he just blanked out on and didn't do, and the overseeing surgeon had to say, don't you want to do that? And then you have to put a needle in a certain way, and he couldn't quite get it. And then after some practice, he got it. The surgeon guides him, a little deeper, a little, not quite so deep. This way, you can kill the patient, of course, so you have to do it right. Says, now I do it routinely. I don't even think about it. He said, but I see the new surgeons who are where I was. So, in surgery, Prabhupada gives the example, one has to take guidance from the experienced medical practitioner. It's not enough just to read the books. Even though the books may be written by the most experienced person, by the most learned person, still one has to approach a contemporary physician and learn under him. Just like there's a book, Gray's Anatomy, famous anatomy book. But if you really want to learn anatomy, it's not enough just to go out to the library and check out Gray's Anatomy. Still, you go to the medical college and they'll, you know, have a cadaver there and whatever it is they do. And you get the firsthand understanding of what is what and what is what. So, simply, well, we have the book is not what Prabhupada taught us. It's a very Protestant idea, actually. The Protestant theology, we have the Bible, and so we don't need any intermediaries. No priests, none of these other people. God speaks to you through the Bible. Or in Sikhism, they have the same thing. There's Guru Granth Sahib. So, was it Guru Gobind Singh declared that he would be the last, he himself would be the last guru, no more gurus. There was Guru Nanak and there were so many gurus. Now I'm the last one. From now on, just the book itself is the guru. Guru Granth Sahib. Granth means this holy book. So they made their holy book as the guru, and now there are no more gurus. But that's not our parampara, our program. Srila Prabhupada speaks of the unbreakable system of disciplic succession. And when the succession breaks, then the science is lost. Sakalineha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. So Srila Prabhupada never told us that when I leave, my books will be there, and that's it. No more gurus. That's not the conclusion. And those who try to follow such a conclusion wind up confused. I know some friends who follow that idea that the Prabhupada is our guru, but they do things that Prabhupada would never go for. They have attitudes and ways of dealing that if Prabhupada had been here, he would say, you know, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Who told you? Who gave you the right? Who authorized this? Call the GBC. Who has done this? But because Prabhupada's not here, they can just wave a flag and say, Prabhupada's my guru, and they can do any damn thing. And in fact, they're their own guru. Because they themselves, who could be more qualified than they themselves to understand what Prabhupada said? So they're their own guru. It's like the person who's his own doctor. He has no doctor, really. So they get very confused and very unfortunate that they mislead themselves and they mislead others. Because simply having the book and trying to understand it by oneself is not the method. Pranipatena, surrender. I have the book means I don't have to surrender, really, because I can interpret the book in whichever way suits me. I don't have to surrender to an actual teacher. It's a kind of arrogance that I don't need to surrender to a teacher because I have the book and the book is, the teacher is there in the book and so I'm refusing actually to follow the system. Maybe I don't trust any guru or I trust my own intelligence more than anyone else's. But that's not the system. Tad vigyanartam sa guru meva abhigacche. One must approach the bona fide guru. Otherwise, none of us needed to approach Prabhupada. We could have just said, well, okay, but Vyasadeva is there, Sukadeva Goswami is there, Rupa Goswami is there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. Anyone, one of us could say, well, I'm a disciple of Rupa Goswami. Yeah, well, I'm a disciple of Sanatana Goswami. You know, choose your Goswami, whoever you want to be a disciple of. You just, that was, who is that? Dronacharya's disciple? Ekalavya. That was his program. that he was refused by Dronacharya. No, I won't accept you. But he decided, no, he's my guru. So he was worshipping a statue of Dronacharya and practicing on his own. And he became very expert in archery. But finally he was rejected. No, you didn't give Guru Dakshina. Oh, all right, sir, what do you want? I want your thumb. That means archery finished. Then someone may say, why? What was this? So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he was puffed up. He was taking the unauthorized path to do things in his own way, for his own purposes. So, we shouldn't be in the follow Ekalavya. We have to follow the bona fide parampara system. Is that okay? Yeah. Something else?
What do you mean to hear Bhagavatam?
One should learn under the guidance of the experienced devotee. One should hear regularly and one should be guided. Yes, do this. Do that. However he may guide us. Regularly we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. Bhagavata Seva means serving the book by hearing and serving the pure devotee in different ways. He may not be physically right in front of us, but we should be serving under his direction. Advice means someone who helps us follow the instruction of our spiritual master. Someone who will give me different advice is not going to help me. Your Guru Maharaj said this, but better you do that. But the best advisor is, we go to him and say, Guru Maharaj told me to do this, what should I do? How do I do this? How do I do this? Suppose he asked me to build a temple, so should I build it this way, should I build it that way, or how do I raise the money, or what deity should I put? Somehow, he's helping us carry out the order of our spiritual master, or the instruction or advice. Suppose the spiritual master advises that you get married. So then we may approach some senior people, who should I marry, how should I get married, when should I get married? Not, well, Guru Maharaj told me to get married, but I was thinking I should take sannyas. What do you think? That kind of, that's in law, that's called, what is it, forum shopping? Forum shopping. You know, you just keep going around till you find a judge who will agree with your interpretation of the law. So to go that way from devotee to devotee to devotee till I find someone who agrees with me. And what is that? That means I'm not actually asking for advice. I just want to do what I want to do and I want someone who'll say, yes, you're right. That's a good idea. You have it right. Sooner or later, I'll find such a person. But that's not the idea. Find someone who'll say something different from my Guru Maharaj. But actual Siksha Guru or actual advisor means a person who'll help me carry out the instructions of my spiritual master. You have to hold it closer.
For someone who has a guru who's constantly traveling and they don't get to talk to them a lot, therefore the relationship kind of isn't as personal as it could be, How does that person have faith in the advice that they're given by him, such as things like, oh, you should get married, like large, you know, life decisions, if maybe their guru like doesn't know them as well as they could?
Hmm. In such circumstances, the guru generally has some system or some, you know, if he's, you're distant, he doesn't know your situation, he may say, so ask your local, you know, why ask me? What do I know about your, you know, your social situation? Prabhupada also, so many times, he would say something like, so if your temple president agrees, then you have my blessings, something like that. Or ask your local GBC man, or ask your local, you know, or for this you can consult the local senior devotees. Not that Prabhupada personally was playing omniscient director of the minutiae of everybody's life. That's not practical and not helpful. So Prabhupada didn't do that. We saw he put a system in, because all right, if you're living in a little ashram with a little group of disciples, then you can give direct instruction. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. But when you've got 5,000 people and they're all over the world, then as far as possible you may travel and meet some of them from time to time. But then you have other senior men, and they're supposed to be trained. Even in business, you know, the boss doesn't do everything and instruct every employee. You know, you put the design this way and do that way. He empowers some manager, and then that manager has five assistants, and those assistants have, and everything's departmentally arranged, so that even the smallest person in the organization is working productively. Because he's in the line. The army runs the same way, any military organization. There's a general who's giving the strategy, giving the standard of how he wants things done. Then it comes down to the lesser officers, down to the lieutenants, down to the sergeants, finally down to the smallest enlisted man. And so this guy's cooking and this guy's operating the communications machine, and this person is giving cover to that person, and so on. But not that the general personally has to say, this man should peel the potatoes. That's not the general's business. General gives the vision and trains others how to do things. And suppose even some small enlisted man becomes the direct assistant of the general, then the general may say, you know, shine those boots again. But he may not be in a position to do that with everyone. So the spiritual master may, sometimes he may just say from his own knowledge, you do this. You get the letter's enough. You can, sometimes you look at the letter and you can see this person's confused. Or this person needs to be married. Or this person should never marry, ever. And just from the letter, you can get the whole picture. Sometimes it may be like that. Otherwise, local apparatus is there. Local network is there for getting these things done. Okay?
Maharaj, we had a class by Achyutanand Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
And he was explaining this particular thing is also an example of achinta bheda bhed, that the spiritual master may not be completely aware of the situation, but still his instructions are going to work because he's directly connected with Krishna. So
that's also there. Yeah, just that may also be there, that the spiritual master may not have studied the whole situation, but he just gives an order, you do this. And then if I follow that order, that I don't know why he gave that order, but that's the order that he gave, you'll be successful. And I have to stick to this order because my spiritual master gave me this order. Even on that point. Even on that point. That somehow or other, let me follow the instructions of my spiritual master. May be wrong, it may be right. Just like this marriage business, it's all a mess anyway. Marriage is always problematic. So my spiritual master may know the boy or know the girl, he may not know, but anyway, it's more or less the same business. So whatever it is, let me stick to it. let me stick to it. That's three quarters of the game right there, that it's always going to be some mixture of good and bad. Or whatever it is, let me stick to it. And not say, well, you know, if my temple president had really known, or if my guru had really known, that he would never have, and actually he would have that one and not this one, and it's not too late, and then switching and changing, and well, the person I asked about the second one wasn't really the right person. He would have gone to this person. So now it's not too late. I can still go to the third person and da 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 da. Three quarters of it is just saying, all right, whatever I got, kind of like food. All right, whatever they served, it may not have been, I may like pakoras done a different way, but anyway, it's prasadam. And what is that? That's called austerity. Mana prasada somyatvam. Austerity of the mind is to be satisfied. All right. She's not the most beautiful, or she's not the greatest cook, or whatever it is. But, you know, if I got the greatest cook, she'd be something, you know, everybody would be after her for her cooking, or whatever. Whatever it is. So whatever I got, Hari Bol, let me chant Hare Krishna and be, not try to make the perfect material situation. Because the perfect material situation is that situation which does not exist. So whatever Krishna has dealt me, then let me accept that. That's also there. And my spiritual master asked me to do this. I would rather have done that. But since he asked me to do it, by following his order, I'm sure that I'll be successful. I'm sure that I'll be successful. Is that all right?
In the beginning, Prabhupada was arranging marriages for the devotees, and after some time he said that they were having problems. He said that I won't do marriages again. So right. I want to ask, is it spiritual master's business to instruct the disciple on his marriage or problems? But because he's not a marriage counselor.
Prabhupada specifically said that, actually, that it wasn't his business. Actually, marriage is not the business of a sannyasi. Marriage means sex life. Those sannyasis aren't supposed to have anything to do with sex life. So that means nothing to do with, therefore, generally sannyasis, it's not expected a sannyasi will attend a marriage ceremony, or a sannyasi will perform, what to speak of, it won't even attend, what to speak of, perform a wedding ceremony. That's not the business of sannyasis. It was mentioned someplace that when the sons of Brahma were to get married, then a whole batch of them stayed there, and Narad Muni and then the others, they just, you know, they left because they had no business with that. So the Brahmacharya sannyasis, they have no business with that. And therefore, they're not to be consulted about these things. The spiritual master is not a marriage counselor. But Srila Prabhupada said, because I have to establish Krishna consciousness, so I have to see that things are arranged in a civilized way, orderly way. I have to establish varnashram. So even though I'm a sannyasi, I'm participating in getting my disciples married, although this has never been there in the history of sannyas. But for the establishment of the Krishna consciousness movement, we need sannyasis, we need grihastas, we need everything. So I'm doing it. So Prabhupada undertook that. But then he became disgusting. So much mail on my desk. My husband, my wife. And Prabhupada became disgusted. This is not my business. And he was also disgusted that they don't stick. You know, they get married and then they split up again, and the Western standard of behavior, the Prabhupada was very unhappy with that also. So then he said, let them get married on their own responsibility. Let them get married on their own responsibility. Or not. That's the other alternative. Or not.
Sometimes when we need some new people...
That's the happiest marriage, the one that you didn't have.
Sometimes some new people come, especially the Indians, they come and they say, they ask about Bhagavatam, and then they say, oh, why should we accept? Then I say it's from Vyasadeva, like his authority, accept authority, disciple succession. And they go, well, you know, how do you know Vyasadeva? Some people even say that.
Ramanujacharya is accepted, Madhvacharya is accepted, Sridhar Swami is accepted, Vallabhacharya is accepted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted. Indian culture means following the acharyas. Not, you know, this politician, that politician. Real Bharatiya Sanskriti means to follow the acharyas. The acharyas have accepted Srimad Bhagavatam, so we're accepted. And who are you?
And then the other question which they ask is, oh, this kind of, you know, you're very narrow-minded. Like, why just one line?
Because Krishna is very narrow-minded. Maam ekam sharanam braja. Ekam is not a very big number. So if Krishna had said dasham or something else, but Krishna says ekam, me, one. Exclusively.
And then they say, then how will we have unity if you have stick to your
unity
authority?
Means one. Unity means oneness. Unless there's one, how do you have unity? Mm-hmm. If I throw a pebble in the water in one place, I can throw 10 pebbles and the ripples will be in harmony. If you throw 10 pebbles or even 2 pebbles in different places, the ripples will conflict.
Yeah.
That's right. Krishna's the one, and there's so many. That's unity and diversity. Just in a family, there's diversity, but there's only one father. If all the sons want to say, I'm also the father, then no. There's diversity. In your body, there's diversity. There's legs, there's hands. If the legs say, I also want to be the head, how many heads can you have? One. Yeah, you can be Ravana. That's a different story. But at least in the present context, you can have one head. That doesn't mean there's no diversity. There's hands, there's legs, there's belly, there's so many things. But that doesn't mean that for diversity, I have to have 7 heads. There's unity when all the parts of the body follow the direction of the head.
When I hear the Indians speaking that way, they do have a one. The one is an Indian body. That's the one. And the diversity is types of Indian bodies. So they make the one that my body is born in India. That's a curious one. My body is born in India. And then some of them will say, well, my body is born in the Hindu body. So that's the unity. And then more liberal will say, oh, my body's born in India, period. Hindu or Muslim or Christian or whatever. But it's still, the unity is, the one is the body.
They want to have unity by the Hindu religion. Hindu religion means all diversity. There's no unity. You know, someone says this, someone says this, someone says this, someone says all of the above. Someone says none of the above, shunyavad. That's not unity, that's chaos. If this, in the University of Florida, if they say, we want to have unity and diversity, every student should do whatever he thinks is best. That's not unity, that's madness. There has to be some school officials and a standard program of study and standard books, and then each student will pursue his own course of study and play his own part and take part in this sport or that sport and that line of work or that this line of work. But not that everybody becomes, that whatever you do is that's education. So why should it be different in spirituality? That whatever you do, that's spiritual. Whatever you think, that's the truth. Why be narrow about it? Why say that the wall is blue? That's so narrow. Yeah, so many narrow. There's only one sun. Why only one? Plurality is supposed to be some sort of virtue, but it doesn't work that way. Why should your wife have only one husband? Well, because, but why so narrow? They won't start talk about unity and diversity and or any of this stuff. Because Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutas, because all the living beings are part and parcel of Krishna, including Lord Shiva, including Indra, including Chandra, including Ganesh, including Surya, including Devi. Aham Adirhi Devanam, they all proceed from Krishna. Over that reason. That was a lot of fun. I couldn't hear you.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to spend the time with you and to see how things are rolling here. It's really, really good. Increasing and increasing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.